From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Don Wilkins, Johnny. Prime Mutual Limited.
Oh, hi, Don. Thanks for the Christmas present.
Well, just don't take out the cork near an open flame.
Yeah.
Say, do you know anything about a guy named Mel Pryker?
Nothing good about him. Why?
Got himself killed last night. Murdered.
Pryker was born to be murdered.
Maybe so, but not at our expense. We're holding a $100,000 policy on him.
Wow. Who's the beneficiary?
His partner, Nick Shern.
Nick Shern? You picked a fine pair of rats.
Yeah, I know that. Now, the New York police are holding Shern, but they've got no evidence. Go down there and check it out for us, Johnny. If Nick did the killing, we're off the hook.
Any witnesses?
One, apparently, the head check girl in that nightclub of theirs.
What's her story?
I wish I knew. She's disappeared. We've got to find her, Johnny, before some of Nick's hoodlums find her.
Don, maybe they already have.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Tri-Mutual Insurance Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an account of expenditures during my investigation of the Nick Shern matter. Item 1, 2280, transportation to New York, tips and incidentals, and taxi fare to the office of Lieutenant Ed Rafferty, Homicide Division, the man in charge of the case.
Oh, hiya, Johnny. Where have you been?
Not bad, Ed. How's the homicide business?
Terrible. Did you look at that teletype? Shoplifting. 5 complaints right in a row. The week before Christmas, that's all we get. Shoplifters.
Mel Pryker wasn't shoplifting.
Oh, you working on it, Johnny?
Yeah, the insurance angle. Nick Shern's the beneficiary. $100,000 policy.
Well, you got a tough one, boy. Shern killed him, all right, but I don't think we're going to be able to stick him. Come on in the office. Hey, you know what that kid of mine wants for Christmas?
Marilyn Monroe?
Oh, next year, Johnny. He's only 10, you know. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
No, he wants a motorbike. Can you tie that? 10 years old, and he says he needs a motorbike. Have a chair.
Okay. Well, look, I know a factory representative here will make you a good deal on one, eh?
Oh, now, forget it, Johnny. No, I was 14 before I even had a pair of roller skates. And then I had to buy them myself. You know, kids are spoiled today. That's the half of what's wrong with them. There's the file on the case. What little we've got.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, how'd it happen, Ed?
You mean, how do I think it happened?
That's good enough for me.
Mel Pryker and Nick Shern were both in the rackets for years, as you probably know.
Yeah, I've heard rumors.
Well, a while back, they teamed up and opened a string of supper clubs. That's where Pryker got it, in their main club, the Chez Colette.
Strictly legitimate, huh?
Well, more or less, I guess. They could afford to be. The dough they were making, and arguing over, according to the word around.
That's the reason for the killing, the way you see it.
Sure. Nick figured if half was good, all the take would be twice as good.
And the insurance on top of it.
Aha, you're a fast one, Johnny. Anyhow, several people heard the shots about 2:30 in the morning, it was, right after the club closed, but none of them bothered to report it. The cleanup crew came in at 3 and found Pryker's body. He was lying in his office, shot twice, gun on the floor beside him, no prints. It was his own gun, and it was kept there in his desk.
Where was Nick Shern?
Well, we picked him up an hour later at another one of their clubs. The manager was with him, and, Benny Stark. Now, he used
Benny, to... yeah, I know. Trigger man for Nick's mob in the old days. 15 years overdue for hanging.
That's our Benny. Anyhow, they both swear that Nick was there from 1:30 on.
Uh-huh. What about a paraffin test, Ed?
Positive, clear to the elbow, and you can throw it out the window.
What do you mean?
Earlier that evening, Nick spent 2 hours at a shooting gallery uptown firing a pistol.
Ooh, smart, huh? He really planned for it.
He really did. But without a witness, we haven't got a chance.
I understand there was a witness. Some girl who was mixed up in it.
Easy, Johnny. You're talking to a Rafferty.
So the girl's Irish.
Miss Kathleen O'Dare. Old country, back 3 generations. County Kildare.
Then naturally, she's as innocent as a newborn babe.
Naturally.
Then how does she figure?
Well, a taxi driver who knows her said that he saw her leave the club 5 minutes after the shots. She denied it, said that she left at closing time. Well, now, in my book, she was lying.
Scared to talk, huh?
Paralyzed. And with plenty of reason. You know Shern's reputation.
Well, what about the cab driver?
Now, I changed his story. He said it might have been some other girl he saw.
Oh, no, don't tell me yet. Let me guess.
That's right. His name's O'Toole.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention that Kathleen's pretty.
Naturally.
Anyhow, I let her go. I had to. And when I went around to talk to her this morning, she'd flown the coop.
Any chance some of Nick's boys grabbed her?
I don't think so. It looked more like she came home, packed in a hurry, took her kid, and blew.
Kid?
Yeah, 8-year-old daughter.
Irish and a mother, too. I was on sacred ground.
Oh, I was fingering me gun. No, seriously, Johnny. Would you find her? She may be able to break Nick's alibi, and it's our only chance.
And it might be her only chance. Nick Sheeran's not the boy to leave a loose end lying around.
I know. I've got 30 men checking bus depots, airlines.
And no luck, huh?
In this mess, this time of year, I'm a hard-boiled cop, Johnny. I've got no Christmas spirit. I'm glad it only comes once per annum.
Well, there's not very much to go on, that's for sure. I'll see what I can turn up, Ed. Check with you later.
All right, that's fine. Oh, by the way, Johnny.
Yeah?
About that friend of yours.
What friend?
The guy with the motorbikes. How would I be getting in touch with him?
Oh, yeah, his name's Ralph Sterner. He's in the phone book, office in the Mackley building. Hard-boiled cop.
Well, they're kids, only young ones.
Yeah, sure.
Now, you find that O'Dare girl. Find her, keep her alive, and get her to talk.
How long have I got to find her?
What do you mean?
Nick Sheeran. How much longer can you hold him?
Johnny, he was turned loose an hour ago.
So that was it. A lot of maybes, a lot of questions, and a lot of pressure. A job to be done and done fast. Find one Kathleen O'Dare, former hat check girl at the Chez Colette. Keep Nick Sheeran's hoodlums away from her and persuade her to talk. And 3-1, Nick was looking for her, too. He was free now, on the loose, and he might be anywhere. Only the way it turned out, he wasn't just anywhere. He was in one particular place.
Johnny.
Parked right smack in front of the precinct station.
Over here, Johnny.
He was sitting in the back seat of a sedan, and his trigger man, Benny Stark, was at the wheel.
Been there a long time, hasn't it, Johnny?
About 5 years, as I remember it, Nick. It was that warehouse robbery over in Queens when you got away with $40,000 worth of furs.
You've forgotten. I was acquitted on that one.
Oh, yeah, I know. After they pulled the only witness out of the East River, his feet in a bucket of cement.
Just coincidence. I never seen him before.
You've seen Miss O'Dare before?
Sure, I have. She works for me. She's a good kid, Johnny.
So I hear.
I wouldn't harm a hair on that girl's head.
She'll be relieved when I tell her that.
Get in. I want to talk to you.
No. Sorry, Nick. I like it fine, just the way it is. In the car, I'd be outnumbered.
You got me all wrong, Johnny. I don't play that way anymore.
What about Benny? Has he reformed, too?
Well, if that's what... Benny, go take a walk.
Yeah, boss, but...
I said go take a walk. Okay. Get in, Johnny.
What's on your mind, Nick?
You were working on this case?
Yeah, I'm on it. Why?
That's what I figured. I was talking to my lawyer in there and saw you go to Rafferty's office. I guess the insurance company's going to try to welch on that claim.
It's your party, Nick. You talk.
I got a better idea.
What's that?
You know, it's real nice out in Las Vegas this time of year, Johnny. A man could have a lot of fun out there for the next month with maybe $10,000 to play with.
What man are you talking about?
You.
I don't have $10,000.
You will, 30 minutes from now, if you say the word.
Oh, Nick, you're lucky we're not standing out there on the sidewalk. In a car seat, I haven't got room to swing.
You're still a fool, huh?
I don't know. Why don't you write me about it? You'll have plenty of time. Up there in the death cell.
Suppose I didn't make any claim on that policy. And you wouldn't have any reason to stay on the case.
No sale, Nick. $100,000 is a lot of money. I'd want to find out why you didn't make a claim.
You know why. You're out to pin this on me, and so are the cops. A man with a record hasn't got a chance.
You should have thought of that before you killed Mel Pryker.
Want to know something, Johnny? I didn't kill him.
Well, I'm betting you did.
What do you care who killed him? You're not shedding any tears over it.
No, but I'd sure hate to see you get away with it. And I'd hate it even more if anything happened to that girl.
Kathy O'Dare. Now, what could happen to her?
She just might fall in the river. She probably thinks she's safe as long as she hides from the police and refuses to talk. She doesn't know you very well.
You had me all wrong, Johnny.
You know, you hear a lot about peace on earth, goodwill toward men around this time of year. But I don't have much goodwill toward the kind of rat you are. And I figured there'd be more peace on Earth if you weren't on it. Push me, and maybe that's what'll happen.
Well, at least that's fair warning.
Yeah, that's fair warning. I'm going to tag you for this, Nick. You can count on it. Expense account item 2, $2.40. Taxi to the east side rooming house of Kathy O'Dare. I didn't have much hope of turning up anything. Ed Rafferty and his men had already been through the place inch by inch. But it was the only starting point I had. The landlady was out, and a uniformed policeman led me into Kathy's flat. I spent an hour and a half and got nowhere. I went through her mail, bills, advertisements, casual notes from men she'd met at the club. But nothing personal, not even a postcard. There were no pictures, photographs of Kathy or her daughter anywhere in the flat. She made a clean sweep, then left in a hurry. And obviously, she didn't mean to be found. But I had to find her, and fast. It was dusk when I left. The street lamps were on, and the colored Christmas lights in the windows were on the block. Snow was falling in big, soft, gentle flakes, and there was a holiday feeling in the air. It was neither the time nor the setting for murder.
Make contributions, son? Give a little something to help poor?
Oh, sure. How's it going this year, Santa?
Oh, it's better than usual, but it just seems there's never enough to go around, no matter how... Well, bless you, son. Thank you kindly.
Don't mention it. Good luck, Pop.
Thank you, son.
Well, the city ought to clean the streets better.
I've been waiting for you.
Sorry, Benny. It's not my day for punks.
Get some friends who want to talk to you. Start walking, Johnny, down the alley.
It's dark down there.
Start walking. This ain't just my hand in my pocket.
It better be, Benny, with two cops standing up there on the porch watching.
What are you talking about? There ain't no cops there.
I smashed him in the mouth and knocked him flat, followed it up and kicked his gun at him. He rolled over, came to his feet, and rushed me. I was
all
hoping
right,
he would.
Right, yeah. He had that coming, son?
He had it coming.
Well, he sure did get it.
Yeah. Hey, you know something, Pop? I think Benny wants to make a contribution to help the poor.
Well, he ain't saying no.
Oh, he's a good boy, at the moment at least. Here you go. That ought to help some.
$500.
Put it where it'll do the most good.
Well, Merry Christmas, son. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Pop, and many more of them. Hey, taxi!
Be another intriguing episode in our story of the next Sherrin matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, an old lady with a broken arm, a shivering girl, and bullets in the snow. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Mrs. Gottler speaking.
Gottler?
I'm Kathleen O'Dare's landlady.
Oh, yeah.
And that's word you wanted to talk to me.
That's right. I'm trying to find Miss O'Dare. Do you know where she is?
You a friend of hers?
I think I will be once I meet her. I'm an insurance investigator. I want to help her.
That's what the other one said.
Yeah. What do you mean? What other one?
The fella that come up here a while ago. Sure.
Benny Stark, was that his name?
He didn't say, Mr. Dollar. I guess he was too busy.
Busy? Doing what?
Breaking my good right arm.
I'll be right over.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, New York City, to the Home Office, Tri-Mutual Insurance Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Nick Schoen matter. Expense account continued. Item 5, $2.30. Taxi to Mrs. Gottler's rooming house, the place Kathy O'Dare had called home until she disappeared.
Come in. Get your hands up.
Mrs. Gottler.
That I am.
Well, look, I'm Johnny Dollar. I talked to you on the phone. It's all right. You can put that gun down.
Well, I guess it's you all right. I'm sorry, Mr. Dollar, but I've only got one good arm left, and I'm aiming to keep it. Pull up a chair.
Thanks. Kind of rough boy, huh?
I'd have showed him who was rough if I could have got a hold of my gun. I'd have blasted him, Christmas week or not. I'd have blasted him, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
And me with all these presents to wrap. How can you wrap presents with one arm? Bad as being a paper hanger.
Well, I'll be glad to help out, Mrs. Gottler. I won't guarantee what they'll look
well,
like.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. And don't worry about their looks. I got to get them wrapped, that's all. Oh, let's see now. This paper goes on that one.
Oh, all right.
It's a water muffler for my nephew over in Brooklyn. You know them terrible winters they have over there.
Oh, yeah, they're frightful. Of course, it may be better this year. The Dodgers won the pennant.
Nothing but luck. It won't happen next year.
You never know. Hey, tell me something, Mrs. Gottler. How come Benny worked you over?
Hmm?
Why did he break your arm?
Here. Stick this card on it as soon as you get the ribbon tied.
Oh, okay.
No time of year like Christmas, Well, he wanted to know where Kathy went. When I said I didn't know, he jumped onto me. Said I was lying. If I could have got hold of that
gun. Where did she go, by the way?
You aiming to break my other arm, Mr. Dollar?
With all these packages to wrap? Here, hold your finger on that knot.
Tie it tight now. Them postmen in Brooklyn are always busting things open.
No. Well, that's one down. Where did you say she went?
Oh, I didn't. Now, this one I'll deliver myself, so it don't need to be wrapped so careful.
All righty.
Kathy lit out of here in the middle of the night. You think I'd sit up 24 hours a day spying on my rumors?
You might, if the rumor happened to be one of your special favorites.
Who told you that?
What's the difference? She was, wasn't she?
Kathy was everybody's favorite. Anybody that ever met her. Oh, you'll meet them as make remarks about a girl that works in a nightclub. But I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Dollar. Kathleen O'Dare is a finer lady as you'd ever care to find.
And I would care to find her.
Well, good luck to you, then. And if you do, let me know where she is.
You helped her pack, didn't you?
Now, how did you know that?
Here, here, here. That's about as good as I can get it. Be careful when you deliver it, though. It's not tied very tight. I didn't know, Mrs. Gottler. I was guessing, but it figured. Kathy was scared half to death when she packed up and left here. All she had on her mind was to run and hide. She wouldn't have thought of stripping that flat, taking out every bit of personal identification. Somebody had to help her. Now, where'd she go?
I don't know.
Look, you don't get the idea. I'm on her side. She's up against a rough deal and doesn't even know it. You've had a sample of the way those boys play, and that was only a sample. With Kathy, it'll be a whole lot worse. They're looking for her, and sooner or later, they'll find her. Her only chance is for me to get to her first, so you...
I'm not lying, Mr. Dollar. I don't know where she went, and that's the truth to help me. Tried to get her to tell me, but she wouldn't. She said if I knew it would be dangerous for me. I helped her pack, yes, but I don't know where she was going.
Well, that's sad, I guess. I don't know where to turn next. She apparently didn't have any other close friends. I don't even know what she looks like. I've never even seen a picture of her. I was hoping you
Well,
could...
if that'll do you any good, I've got one right here in my sewing basket.
One what?
A picture! What did you think? She gave it to me about a year ago. She'd never had many taken, but here it is.
Thanks.
Real pretty girl, don't you think so?
Yeah, she's lovely. Well, at least I'll be able to When was this taken, Mrs. Gottlieb?
Now, how should I know? 3 or 4 years ago, I guess, before she come here to the city.
This photographer's address, the name of the town, is that where she came from, Brambury, Michigan?
Well, yes, that's her hometown, Brambury. I'd forgotten the name of it. And she was just talking about it a week or so ago. She wanted to go home for Christmas, but she said she couldn't see. Mr. Dollar, do you think she might?
Maybe. It's the most likely place a scared girl would run to, home. Anyway, it's worth a chance. Mrs. Gottler, I love you.
Why, Mr. Dollar? Why, Mr. Dollar?
Expense account item 6, $88.35. Hotel and incidentals in New York and transportation to Brambury, Michigan. Brambury turned out to be a lumber village, half hidden among the pine-covered hills. It was a little bigger than a wide spot in the road, but not much bigger. A foot of new snow had fallen within the past 24 hours. A fluffy white blanket lay softly on the trees and the housetops and filled the deep hollows in the frozen ground. Men in bright red flannel shirts drove horse-drawn logging sleds through the forest trails, and their shouts sounded sharp and clear, a crystalline tinkle in the icy air. Brambury looked like the place where Christmas was invented. It was beautiful. And very quiet when it came to putting out information. I found it out first when I tried the local telephone operator.
Number, please.
I just checked in here at the hotel, operator. There doesn't seem to be a phone book, so...
People steal them, that's why. Traveling people going through.
Oh, souvenir hunters, I suppose.
How's that?
Look, I wanted to call the O'Dares. Could you put...
Not O'Dares. There ain't but one. That's old Mike.
Oh, and that's the one I want to call. Would you mind ringing him?
Won't do no good. He ain't there. He's slabbing up at number 4 mill today.
Well... Actually, it's his daughter I want to talk
daughter?
To. Yeah, that's right, Kathleen. Do you know her?
Just growed up with her, doll.
Oh, well, would you mind...
Are you a friend of hers?
No, I've never met her,
Where
but...
Where are you from?
I came here from New York,
What's
but
What's your name?
Johnny Dollar. Now, would you please ring Kathleen
and... She don't live here. She lives in New York City.
I know where she lives.
And what give you the idea she'd be up here?
I'm psychic.
You're what?
Look, where can I get in touch with her?
I wouldn't know anything about it, Mr. Dollar, and I can't give out that kind of information. You better go on back to New York and write her a letter.
Let me talk to your supervisor.
Supervisor? Well, I'm all there is, so I guess that's me. Start talking.
Forget it.
You're welcome.
I got the same kind of runaround from the hotel proprietor. As soon as I mentioned Kathy, he suddenly forgot his own name, age, and the time of day. One thing's sure, this town took care of its own. I wondered if the law in Brambury would take the same attitude. I decided I'd better go find out. As it happened, I didn't have far to go. On the sidewalk in front of the hotel, the law came to me.
Just a second there, mister.
Hmm?
I'd like to have a little talk with you, if you don't mind.
All right. Quite a change to find somebody here who wants to talk.
I understand you just got in from New York. Here on business?
Look, you know why I'm here, but now everybody in town knows.
Got any identification on you?
Yeah. Have you?
My name's Martin, Dan Martin. I'm the deputy sheriff in charge of this part of the county.
Oh, then you're just the man I was looking for.
Is that so?
I'm Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator. I'm looking for a girl named Kathleen O'Dare. Do you know where she is?
What do you want with her?
I'm working on a murder case. She's a witness.
Is there any kind of a charge against her?
No, I just want to talk to her.
What makes you think she's here?
Are you a friend of hers, Mr. Martin?
I've been in love with Kathy since we went to grade school. I'd be willing to die for her. Does that answer your question?
All right, let me put it this way. You think you're helping her by hiding her out. All of you think so. But you're wrong. You're helping her right into her grave.
Kathy doesn't figure it that way.
She's scared. She doesn't know what she thinks. I know these boys who are after her. They don't play kid games. And sooner or later, they're going to find her. So if you love her and if you know where she is, you better take me to her before it's too late.
I don't know. I don't know what it is Kathy's mixed up in. I didn't want to ask her. But I know it isn't the police she's afraid of. And I don't think it's you.
No, at the time she ran out, I wasn't even in the picture. I'm on her side too, Mr. Martin, and I've got to see her.
Go talk to her father, old Mike. See what he thinks. He's not at home right now.
Yeah, I know. He's out at number 4 mill. How do I get there?
The county pickup truck is parked down the block.
The tire chains bit into the packed snow and pushed the 4 miles of logging road behind us. It was late afternoon, and the sun had dropped behind the timbered slopes, throwing a pale sheet of cold yellow against the western sky. Here and there, a few scattered lights were coming on, in the windows of the village and the bunkhouses of the lumber camps. Bright white smarks against the darkening shadows. Emptiness, loneliness, and somewhere in it a frightened girl in hiding. A girl who'd run away from the city of 100 million lights and from an unsolved murder. Mike O'Dear was winding up a job working at the big slabbing saw, and I stood by and waited for him to finish.
Good night with you, Mr. Dollar. This is the last one.
Okay.
Last of it now till after Christmas. Yeah, I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
That's all right, Mr. O'Dare. My name is Johnny.
Never mind. I know all about you. Dan Martin phoned. Said you was on your way out. Mr. Dollar, the answer is no.
I see.
I've thought it over since Dan called. Before I'd have anything happen to Kathy, I'd rather see 10 murderers going home.
Now, look, hiding out won't help. As long as Nick Sherrin is free, Kathy's in danger.
He can't hurt her if he can't find her.
I found her, Mr. O'Dare.
Just by luck. There's not one chance in a million of... Sounds like a car. Ooh, the tarnation would drive out here this time of the evening.
We walked over to the big doors. The car had stopped about 20 yards away. A man got out and turned toward us. I was standing under the dock light, so he recognized me before I got a good look at him. He jumped back in the car and went for his gun. Benny Stark. Get back, Mr. O'Dare. It was too dark to get a decent shot. I tried once more. And missed, and the car disappeared behind the trees.
Mr. Dollar, who was it? Was that one of them?
That's right, Mike. They found her.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Nick Sherrin matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, a lonely vigil in the snow, a killer prowls the night, and a lovely lady vanishes. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking. Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Dan Martin here. I was up the street when you
Listen,
called.
Listen, Sheriff, they've traced Kathy O'Dear here to your nice little town of Branbury.
Who has?
Nick Sherrin's boys. One of them, a trigger man named Benny Stark, came out to the sawmill hill a few minutes ago. I traded a couple of shots with him, but he got away in a car.
Did he head north or back toward town?
Toward town, I think. You can't see the turnoff from here.
All right, Dollar. You're packing a gun. Will you take the pickup truck and block that turnoff? Hold it until I can get somebody out there to relieve you.
Right. How many deputies you got?
Deputies?
Uh-oh. What about volunteers?
Is this Benny Stark the man Kathy's afraid of?
He's one of them.
Then I'll have volunteers. 20 men within a half hour, armed with deer rifles. And every one of them a dead shot.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Branbury, Michigan, to the Home Office, Tri-Mutual Insurance Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Nick Shearn matter. Expense account continued. Item 8, $3.60 for two packs of cigarettes and a pint of Applejack borrowed from the foreman's locker at the sawmill. I figured these as standard equipment for holding down a roadblock at 10 degrees above zero. And Mike O'Dare agreed with me 100%.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They can make it out of corn, rye, barley, make it out of gold if they want to. But they'll never come up with anything better than what they make out of apples. Here, have a short one, Johnny.
No, thanks. I'll save it for later.
Well, I'll just, It's got the taste of Indian summer in it. You ought to see this country around that time of year, Johnny. Breaks your heart, it's so beautiful.
Well, it's beautiful now with the snow on. And it would be more so if there wasn't a killer running loose in it.
Johnny, I want to ask you something about my daughter. And I want you to answer me honest.
All right.
It's no use trying to fool you. She's here, all right.
I know.
But she hasn't told me what it was that happened in New York. What she ran away from it. Somehow I figured it was just as well not to ask her.
Your sheriff, Dan Martin, said practically the same thing.
Dan's been in love with Kathy since he was 12 years old. He's a good man. Solid.
So I figured.
Anyway, she was scared. Scared half to death. And she'd come home for help, so we tried to help her.
What was it you wanted to ask me, Mr. O'Dare?
You mentioned a murder case, Johnny. You didn't give any of the details, just said that Kathy was her witness. Is she mixed up in this murder?
And you wanted an honest answer. All right, I'm not sure.
I see.
That's why I wanted to talk to her, get her story, the truth. I realized from the start she might be guilty. I don't think so, but it's a possibility. You may as well know about it.
I guess you realize it wouldn't make any difference. Not to me or to Dan.
Oh, yeah, I figured. In other words, you're with me as long as I'm trying to protect her. But you'll fight me if I find reason to think she's guilty.
That's about it, Johnny.
Well, at least we know where we stand. And I hope it won't come to...
What's the matter?
Car coming. Light on the trees there at the bend.
Yeah. You suppose maybe...
Probably not, but you can't tell. Better get behind the truck just in case. You'll have to shift into low to edge past us. And let me get that spotlight on.
I guess I'll just have another quick one. That wind cuts right through your bones.
It's a dark-colored sedan. It might be him.
Funny. I'd been hoping for 2 months that Kathy'd come home for Christmas. And I didn't figure I'd be out here in the woods, hiding behind a truck, waiting to shoot it out with somebody that wanted to kill
it. It's a crazy world. Keep your head down, Mr. O'Dare.
Yeah.
Just the driver by himself, wearing a dark hat. I don't know.
You know, that kind of looks like...
Huh?
By golly, it is.
What?
That's Ted Perkins, old wreck. No doubt about it.
All right, you better wave him out past. He probably thinks we need help.
It's all right, Ted. It's my good air. Go ahead. We don't need anything. We're all right. Thanks anyway.
Well, there's one thing about people around here. They mind their own business and don't ask no questions.
And they don't answer them often either. How's that Applejack holding out? Two long hours went past. Only three cars came out from the village. And each time a long moment of tension while we waited to identify the occupants. But all of them were townspeople. Benny didn't show. One truck came down the logging road from the back hills, loaded with dwarf spruce and fir. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We were waiting for an assassin, but the truck only carried Christmas trees. The night was crystal clear with bright stars hanging low on the blackness, but it kept turning colder and colder. And to leave on the Applejack didn't help much. And the wind, too, changed gradually and blew fitful and gusty and strange.
It's going to storm. Come a blizzard, maybe. Not tonight. Tomorrow sometime or tomorrow night. I know this country. Know the signs.
There's an odd feeling in the air, all right.
There's an even odder one in my leg. Log rolled over on it pretty near 6 years ago. Bothers me some in the winter. Still that worse, though, right before a storm.
Well, that's kind of a handy thing to have.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, I guess. Like one time when Kathy was little. When her ma was still alive. God rest her soul. We had a big measles epidemic here in Brambury, and every night Kathy used to add a line to her prayers. She'd say, "And please let me catch the measles so I can stay out of school like the other kids." Now she's wanted as a witness in a murder case. And somebody's prowling out there in the dark trying to find her and kill her. Little Kathy, who never harmed anybody in her whole life. Some things just don't make sense, Johnny.
Some things never have. There was another time once when men like Benny were prowling in the dark trying to find a little child and kill him. And he hadn't harmed anybody either. That was nearly 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, so it was. I like you, Johnny. Kathy will like you, too, and little Jill. Oh, there's a pair for you. That kid looks more like her mother did at her age.
Another car coming, Mr. O'Dare.
Yeah, so there is. And this just might be the one.
Maybe.
I sure wish that Applejack hadn't run out.
But it was only a couple of men Deputy Martin had sent out from town to relieve us and take over. Big men, calm and quiet, wearing plaid mackinaws and heavy lace boots and carrying Winchester 94s over their arms. They told us Benny Stark had been seen. He'd come up from the west, driven onto one of the roadblocks unexpectedly. In a flurry of shots, he'd broken through. The men couldn't understand his persistence. They thought he'd run for it, get out of the area once his presence was known. I didn't bother to explain, to put him straight, but I knew Benny had never run, not now. He was a trigger man, a professional killer with a reputation at stake. And he had his orders to silence Kathy O'Dare. A half hour later, we were back in town, turning into the main street around the village square. Strings of colored lights on a tall pine in the center of the square blinked and sparkled as they swayed in the wind. Around 100 cars and trucks were parked in the street and in the lot behind the town hall. And the sound of singing drifted out from inside.
They're practicing carols and things for the big doings on Christmas Eve. Ain't it beautiful?
The men at the roadblock had given a description of Benny's car and the license number. It was just barely possible.
Got something in mind, Johnny?
Yeah, let's take a look through those parked cars.
I don't know. If it was me, I sure wouldn't be hanging around here. I'd stick to the tall timber.
Yeah, but you're not a city boy, Mike. Tall timber is foreign soil to Benny. He's only comfortable when he's close to a crowd.
He the fellow that's supposed to have done that murder?
No, it was the man he works for, a cafe owner, ex-gangster, a man named Nick Shern. Let's check that lot around at the side. I don't think he'd show here in front.
He'd be taking a big chance showing anywhere. In a town this size, people know each other.
It's his job to take chances. And he probably doesn't realize... Wait a minute. That sedan against the building with the side window broken.
7, 8, 2, 1. That's his car, Johnny.
Yeah, wait here. I eased my gun out of the holster and started toward the car. There were no lights in the lot, only the soft glow reflected from the packed snow underfoot. And the car itself stood in the dark shadows next to the building. I couldn't see whether anyone was in it or not. The singing seemed to swell louder as I approached. I moved slowly, watching for any sudden movement. The car was empty. It was time, past time, to talk to Kathy O'Dare. And with the pressure tightening, the danger close to home now, her father was ready to take me to her. We drove over to Dan Martin's house, where it turned out Kathy and their daughter were staying. Dan's mother had been looking after her. Dan was there when we arrived, busy on the phone.
Yeah, I know the car all right. The one Jed bought last spring down in Bay City. 7392. Where was it parked? All right, keep an eye out, Charlie. So long. Benny Stark has stolen himself another car.
Huh?
Took Jed Wharton's station wagon.
Well, what for? That was a better one he had.
Charlie says the steering gear was sprung. I guess it happened when he crashed that roadblock.
Well, how's Kathy and the young'un?
Oh, fine. They're asleep upstairs. Mom's next door helping Mrs. Barton stuff a turkey.
Johnny, you're You figure it could wait till morning.
I'm sorry, Mr. O'Dear. I've got to talk to her tonight.
All right. I'll go wake her up.
Mr. Dollar, no matter what she's done, don't hurt her any more than you have to.
As far as I know at the moment, Dan, all she's guilty of is withholding information. And most people would have done the same thing. Nick Sheeran's a rough boy to tangle with. She was scared, that's all. Lost her head.
She never did belong in a city. She belongs right here in Branbury. This is her kind of life.
Why did she leave?
Well, we argued one day, and she said she'd show me. So she ran off and married that fella. He treated her bad, finally left her. But she was too proud to come back. She wouldn't have come back now if she hadn't have been so scared.
Well, maybe it'll work out now.
She ought to stay. Her kid ought to grow up here. Learn the outdoors and the woods like Kathy used to know it. Why, she roamed through those hills like a young Indian. Knew every trail in that forest. Every timber camp and trapper's cabin from here to the ridge. I remember one time the two of us were up toward...
Dan! What's the matter?
What is it, Mr. O'Dear?
You said Jill and Kathy were asleep upstairs. Ain't that what you said, Dan?
Of course that's what I... Mike...
What's happened?
They're not up there. They're not up there anywhere else in the house. They're gone.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Nick Sheeran matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, a little girl who believes in Santa Claus, a big girl who believes in very little, and both of them facing death. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.